Wednesday, the 1st of December, Joe Collins and Barbara Dean recording the memories of Cherry Dale at 5 Orchard House. You've lived in Chudley all your life?
Since 1928, approximately.
1928. Yes. Where were you born?
I was born in London. And then I went from London to Tynemouth as a little baby. And from Tynemouth, I then went to South Brent until I came to Chudley. Chudley in those days was a happy place. There were no murders, no rape, no drugs, certainly no drugs. And as a child, I could wander wherever I liked. Great happiness. I used to help with the haymaking as I got a little older. And I used to ride the horse that went round in a circle. They used to have a sort of revolving, I suppose, ladder you would call it, because there were no bales of hay in those days. They were all in stooks.
And where was this, Jerry?
At Silverton, which is now enlarged, just above Harcombe Garage.
Oh yes, I know
what
you mean. Opposite Harcombe Garage.
Yes, mm-hmm. And the farmer in those days was at Marsh Lane Farm, which was about a quarter of a mile.
The Roberts.
The Roberts, yes.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm.
And I used to go and get the milk there. No milk in bottles. We have a good old-fashioned tin can. I used to fetch the milk each day.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
None at all. I was the only child. Yeah. I had no father. I mean, he was dead before I was born. Know little about him.
Was he killed in the war?
No. I'm told he died in a snowstorm in Canada.
Oh, dear.
But I know very little, and consequently, I always hankered and wanted to know more.
Mm. So you had a childhood as an only child?
Yes, yes.
And you had friends in friends at school. What school did you go to?
I went to a convent, first of all, at Ingsden. They used to have horrible, milky, fishy soup on Fridays. And I only lasted a term because I came out in a rash. Well, as I was then, I suppose 14 is probably my age, but anyway, I left and I went to a convent of painting as a weekly boarder, which I loved. It was great fun. It was an Irish order, and there was a seminar for young priests next door. So you can imagine what harmless fun we had. We had a sergeant who took us for drill, and did he drill us, which was a good thing. But we had happy days there. We used to go down to Goodrington Beach in the summer with a lovely picnic supper. We used to play games on the beach and go swimming.
On the weekends,
yes. I would have been quite happy to be a whole-time boarder.
How did you actually sort of go and, when you went down to Paignton, how did
on the
you,
bus.
On a on bus. It was a good bus service.
I had to change at Newton and then on to Torquay.
And that was on the Monday morning?
Sunday night.
Oh, Sunday night.
Mm. Yes, I used to go home Friday night, Sunday night. And I well remember we had this dormitory of about, I suppose, 10, all in cubicles. And we used to have a nun in her cubicle. And I slept beside her. And unfortunately, she talked in her sleep. So I was the one that had to bend over and rock her bed to stop her talking in her sleep. Because she was quite a lass before she became a nun. When did I know I left?
How old were you at that time?
14, I suppose.
You were quite knowledgeable.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. And just have Occasionally we used to have a midnight feast and all get out.
Now how did you manage if the nun was there?
Well, she slept very soundly. You learn to be very quiet, don't you? And the Reverend Mother discovered she was good fun, what we were doing. Our punishment was extra drill by the sergeant.
Oh.
Which I thought was a very, very good way of saying, don't do it again.
How old were you when you left that school?
I was 18.
Where did you go from
there? And then I went from there. Because my mother used to breed spaniels and chows. And I went to a place in Surrey for extra training. And then I came back, things became difficult, and that bit of history I will leave. I then went to Western House, where a Dr. Brown, lady doctor, and her husband lived, and I ran the house and looked after two children, her son Michael, her daughter Gina. I was there all through the war. I used to see the patients, you know, what they wanted.
Where is Western House?
Bang
where?
Opposite, almost bang opposite the church. Very tall house.
In the parade? In the,
it used to be the Horse and Hound when we had coaches.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And the coaches used to, that was before, that was when Newton Abbott was a furry down, as they used to call it. It was on the main Plymouth to Exeter coach line.
Oh, right.
And they used to put the horses in, which were the stables, just behind the little low house.
Oh, the one that's sort of down in
yes,
the
yes, there were stables behind there, and that's where the horses were.
Oh,
where
right.
But of course, Western House has been changed because you can see on the wall where the mark of the stairs was, which used to be obviously straight in front of the front door. Now they're around the back. And I was there till 1972 when I went, the house was sold. And I went to the Rock, where I still am.
Yes, wonderful. And so during the war, you had these responsibilities, but in your free time, how did you spend your time during the war years? What memories do you have of the war years in particular?
Not a lot. We used to have troops in Chudley, of course. I went to the odd dance.
And where were they held? In the town hall?
No. I don't think so. I don't remember. But I remember going to dances at Exeter with some of the officers.
Mm.
But that bit I don't really remember.
Would they have had transport, or would you have gone by bus?
That I don't know. I don't remember. No, I think, of course, during the war, one had a small allowance of petrol.
Mm.
And being a doctor's car, she had any amount of petrol. But she never abused it. I mean, we used to go down with the children to Torquay Beach.
Mm.
Because she used to attend Torbay Hospital as an anaesthetist.
Mm.
And then, with the allowance, we were able to get from Torbay to the beach. And the beach in those days were quite deserted. The only
Did
thing,
they have barbed wire? Some beaches in Devon no, were mined
yes,
and,
no.
for landings.
Not the beach by the Grand Hotel.
Oh, yes.
The only thing I remembered of the actual war was that I sit in Torquay in a bus. When a German plane flew over, it was in the Abbey Gardens.
Oh,
and he started dropping bombs and shooting with his guns. And I got so cross because all the women screamed. And all I did was to get underneath, it was a double-decker bus, get underneath the stairs. I got so cross with the screaming women. And then, of course, when the only time we ever got up with the children was when Exeter was bombed, because all night long the German planes were flying over Chudley. Mm.
You remember that, yes.
Very, very well. And on another occasion, we were having a picnic up on Holden. And we saw two planes quite low, rather like leaves blowing in the wind. Mm. And we all stood and gazed at them. It was the only time poor Newton Abbott got a bomb on its station. It was a Spitfire chasing a German plane.
Oh, really? Yes. So a dogfight over the Holden?
Yes, something? Pretty well. And he dropped his bombs on Newton Abbott station. And I remember somebody telling me what extraordinary things, I suppose you'd call it wind. But there was a husband and his wife standing on the station. Mm. And she was talking to him. And the next minute the bombs dropped and he had vanished. And they never saw any trace of him whatsoever. So the blast must have sucked him to...
Really?
Yes.
But no,
I've have heard
body or anything.
No, nothing, not a thing.
And just disintegrate, could it?
Well, the suction. I think he was sucked away, and you know, just crumbled like a bit of
bread
or anything.
Oh, amazing!
But I've heard of other people saying of experiences, you know, during the war in London. Hmm. We were talking to somebody. The next minute, you'd hear the bomb. It must have been a sort of shaft of blast because you were all right, but the person next to you vanished.
Peculiar.
Horrible, I think.
Not nice at all. How did these experiences affect the children you were caring for? Were they aware of the war in the
world? Not really, no. They just thought it was a joke, I think, getting up in the middle of the night.
What about the schooling? Did they go to the local school or...?
Michael went to the local school, then he went on to his prep school. And this was... because he was born... 1936. Mm. Gina was born in 1940. So then he went to his prep school and to public school. Mm. And Gina went to Stover.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And when that period of your life was over, you say you went to the Rock and you're still there now. Mm-hmm. So how did you come to go to the Rock? Did you know?
I knew the Boltons, yes. And there was Mrs. Thompson, who's long ago dead, and she was in one of the flats there. And she said, oh, they're looking for somebody to help run it, and that's how I went. Been there ever since.
I was going to say, you're part and parcel of the Rock, I think, don't you? Everybody says, oh, Cherry from the Rock, you know.
Yes. And when I go out, or if I go to London, on several occasions I've been staying up in London, and I'll meet somebody and they say, what are you doing up here? They said, aren't I allowed to come?
Oh, sweet, I like it.
Yeah. During
finish.
The...
I think that's enough of me.
Okay.
No, you're not. Don't think you are. Don't think you're on. Did you press it twice? You say something.
Okay.
What else would you like to talk about?
Okay, no.
Yes, fine.
Where the little house Churchill Associates is, it used to be a tiny bakery, which was, I think, just before and during the war. Dear old lady, Mrs. Lear, and her very elderly daughter, Polly, lived. You went through the door, and inside there's a stone floor. Opposite that, a rather grubby counter. And behind that, through the door, was the bakery, where old Mrs. Billier baked her wholemeal bread. Delicious for the first 2 days. And then it became dry. It was difficult to eat. Polly used to deliver the bread in an old black box-like pram, covered in an old tarpaulin. in all weathers. I can still see her now, trudging in the pouring rain, covered with an old sort of jute sack, and pushing her pram. I think they sold the bread for a shilling a loaf. But everybody, because they were sorry for dear old Mrs. Lear and Polly, always had the bread, even if it went to the chickens.
That's sweet.
How many bakeries were there in Chudley? Was there a choice?
One. See, there was no co-op. I can't think when the World Stores came, which used to be where Four Seasons is. We had only two butchers, as far as I can remember. Always had a chemist.
Well, there were three butchers. When the three butchers, there were Cornish's, Wilson's, and Eastman's, or not? I remember three.
Yes,
I mean, but it wasn't the one next somewhere.
I'm talking about the wartime.
Ah, wartime, right.
Yes, yes. Mm. Not recently. Yes, later on there were three.
Mm.
But during the war and before,
mm.
if I remember rightly, there were only two butchers.
Any dairies?
Yes, Mrs. Hellyer.
Oh, Art Hellyer's one.
Yes, mm-hmm. But that's fairly recent again.
Mm.
That's not pre the wartime.
But she was sort of...
I mean, we used to get our milk from Marsh Lane, where the Roberts were. We also got our cream and eggs. But...
What, in your view, what's the major change in Chudley from the days that you've been reminiscing now and the present day?
The terrible influx of building estates. When you think that there was nothing round or near the cricket field, nothing overlooking the cricket field. It's quite horrendous, the amount of new houses. It was all fields.
And paths.
And paths. And
what effect are you noticing with the coming of the expansion of Chudley?
You no longer know the people of Chudley.
Hmm.
One used to know everybody, whether one was always on nodding terms. For example, I remember during the war we had a lovely postman and he knew everybody. And on Christmas Day, I remember one year when I was at Western House, which has three steps up to the front door, he fell up the steps. And we had a delivery on Christmas Day. And he came the next day and apologised profusely. He said, I'm so sorry I was drunk, but everybody was giving me cider.
Happy Christmas.
And another occasion was the friendliness of the police who knew everybody.
Mm.
And I remember coming back, having travelled overnight from Birmingham. The front door was always left unlocked, and I couldn't get in, it was locked. And eventually I raised somebody in the house. I said, what the heck did you lock me out for? And they said, we didn't. And a constable came next day and said, oh, I'm sorry to hear you were locked out. I noticed the door was unlocked, so I put the latch down for you. Can you imagine that happening today?
Yeah.
We always had police on the beat. I remember walking home from being out from supper down the parade. That was supposed to be during the war because it was blackout. And two men went past shining torches and said, good night, Miss Doe. I said, you scared the daylights off me. They just laughed. It was the sergeant and the constable. He'd be walking through the village.
Any vandalism that obviously...
Oh, no. You could leave your front door open, nobody would walk in.
Mm.
It was a much easier, a poorer life, perhaps, but...
Materially
poorer, but I think a much happier life. I mean, on Sundays, you would see teenager boys and girls all going up, five and six in a group, going for a walk down to the... what was the railway station at the bottom of Chudley Hill, or going for a walk in the fields. Or they were allowed. They behaved, they were allowed, they were happy.
That's it. I don't think they... And what about hobbies and things like that? Did you have any hobbies? Any games that you particularly remember playing?
I used to play tennis.
And where did you do that?
Oh, in the local tennis club.
And where was that? On the cricket field?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Played tennis there.
And that grass courts, presumably?
Yes.
You've lived in Chudley virtually all your life.
Yes.
And are there, even though there have been these great changes, social changes and practical changes in Chudley, have many people stayed in Chudley the way you have? Are there people here that you've known all your life?
Yes, but the trouble is they're dying out. Don't you see? My age group is getting less and less, and is natural. And the age group that's coming up has different outlooks, haven't they?
Yes, they certainly have.
But you've had a continuity, probably unusual.
And I wouldn't leave Chudley.
Four
houses, yes, I wouldn't leave Chudley.
In a whole lifetime.
I mean, I know I grumped at you about the buildings. Oh, the gardens. At least they are traditional looking houses. And as for this place, it's marvellous. It really is.
Yeah.
And that, I think, was really due to Mrs. Tatwills.
Yeah.
She worked at Teenbridge and worked on it, and it's through her that we got it. I've always told people that.
Of course, she's still active in the community.
Oh, yes,
In fact, lives in this building.
Yes, the top flat.
Yes. So that the bypass that came in 1973, which actually took some of the pressure of the traffic through Chudley.
Yes.
What difference has that made to you, for example, at the Rock?
It's been improved because Chudley Hill was a terrible snag of blockage of cars. They just couldn't get in. So it did improve considerably our custom. And the way Chudley Bypass came about, they were humming and hawing which direction it would go in. One was to be below the Rock, and the one they chose. And it was rather funny that the Ministry of Transport came down to see the layout, and the day they came, it started to snow. And so I'd gone for a walk down the Chudley Hill, the old Chudley Hill, and a lorry jackknife on the corner by Highclay. And everything came to standstill, including the Ministry of Transport. And the snow was so thick, people were putting people up, and they opened the town hall. And it was all right, only lasted 24 hours, they got away. But the plans for the bypass went through just like that.
As I haven't heard that before. It's always seen when people talk of the bypass as if it was sort of planned and then executed, then opened.
There was a lot of controversy over whether it should go north or south.
South, yes. Terrible controversy.
I mean, when we first moved to Chudley, it was going to be south, and so we moved north and it went north.
Oh, yes.
Never mind.
But the Rock... caves. Have you been involved with the Rock caves
The big cave has been caged off by the Bat Society because It was always open to the public. And not local people, but somebody, I don't know where from, they started throwing fireworks at the bats. And so it was closed. And the cave, well, that's on Lord Clifford's side. And the cave that we have is a little cave, which is lit up. There's water at the bottom. You can't fall in, of course. But it causes great joy to little boys and big boys.
Again.
Okay. I would like to add one last little bit, and that is that all the people in the shops, that serve in the shops, are so kind, so helpful, so friendly, as they always used to be. At least Chudley stays the same as it did in the 1930s and previous.
It's really lovely, Terry. Thank you very much for your contribution. That's really nice.